Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Time for The Bigger Picture.
Yeah, short work week, but quite a big finish, especially when you wake up to that $2.25 trillion infrastructure plan that Joe Biden has announced.
Yeah, but it wasn't $4 trillion, which is what some people were expecting.
Not yet.
Not yet. Good point.
Yes. What do you think? Maybe more to come. And this is the tricky thing, right? He needs to pass it through Congress. So maybe he is breaking it up to more, in a way, digestible components for it to be passed. And of course, this $2 trillion does by itself include a wide-ranging slew of different spending policies. You've got green infrastructure, you've got electric charging points, you've got housing infrastructure, things for manufacturing. So it pretty much is trying to create jobs and also address some of the inequality problems that the US has been trying to grapple with. So all in, how do we fund all these spending measures? What's on the cards as well is a tax hike from 21% to 28%. So how will all this be digested by markets today? Let's check in with Sunny Hamid. He's the Director of Wealth Management for Financial Alliance. Morning, Sunny. How are you doing?
Morning, Ryan. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Hey, Sunny. Thanks for joining us. Well, let's dive into what's going on with the infrastructure bill. There is going to be quite a lot to digest. What's your take on this in terms of maybe a Biden boost for markets today? How much has it been factored in already? Because we've been talking about it for quite some time.
Well, if you look at how the market performed last night, NASDAQ was up. So I think the tech component of the package itself, the market really liked it. Things like the charging points, the network, and so on. The Dow was down a little bit, so was the S&P. So that could tell you maybe the market's a little bit also worried about the tax hike, and that may have offset some of the positive sentiment from the overall infrastructure package. But I don't think that tax hike itself will be an impediment going forward.
Yeah, talking about those tax hikes, it's going to be quite a big jump if you look at the numbers from 21 to 28%. But at the same time, it is going back to pre-Trump days where it was around 35%. What are the implications when you think about earnings, when you have companies with earnings overseas now potentially having to cough up more? Is this going to be a dent for earnings expectations in the coming seasons?
That's a good point, because if you look at the bigger picture, as you correctly mentioned, the initial 35 to 21, that was massive. I still remember we even had corporations who on record said that, you know, we don't need 21, 28, it's fine. So basically, so while there is a psychological negativity towards 21 to 28, and there will be some pushback from the corporations, I think corporations also have to take it quite in a sensitive manner. I think Biden has positioned it in such a way that today we have corporations, large corporations, MNCs, who don't pay a single cent, and yet average Americans are paying taxes. So I don't think any corporation in the U.S. wants to see or to be deemed as the Scrooge of Wall Street, in the sense of Scrooge of Christmas, and spoil this whole thing by taking money away from people. So I think corporate America will really toe this quite sensitively.
Yeah, there is that picture of inequality that is also a factor. And turning our attention to what's also coming up today, we have the OPEC Plus meeting. And this is against an interesting backdrop. You've got actually just a few days where we had a Suez Canal being jammed up by that giant container ship. So there was all this concern about how that could impact oil prices in terms of logistics. And then you also have now France going into a lockdown. So that means the demand picture is impacted to some degree. What's your take on how OPEC Plus will pivot or lean towards in terms of what to do with its output?
Good point. And I think it puts them in a very difficult position. But I think what will probably happen is they'll probably try and keep things stable. I think at these current prices, they're quite happy. It probably helps them to manage a lot of their fiscal deficit because of the high revenues that they're receiving and such. So I don't think they want to rock the boat too much at this particular point, either by driving prices lower or even higher from here. So I think it's going to be a wait and see, especially for the lockdowns reoccurring and such. So probably a wait and see.
Yeah, it's worth noting that oil prices are up more than 20% for the first quarter. So it has climbed up quite a bit since last year. And going back to where we are in the Singapore Exchange, the SPAC space is heating up across the world, and you've got now the SGX pushing out a consultation paper. How do you think they should be balancing the considerations when they think about putting SPACs available or accessible to investors here?
It's inevitable, meaning to say that for the longest time we have been in an environment which has been regulated, which has been intermediated, meaning to say we have regulations as well as banks and financial institutions within the space to look after us, so to say. Then comes along SPACs, digital assets, cryptocurrencies, and these are decentralized, democratized and such. So basically those are really independent, and I don't think there are a lot of people who just can't take that jump from basically 100% regulated to 0% regulation. So they have to meet in the middle. And I think this really is what you're trying to allude to, and what the SGX and many other institutions are trying to allude to. How do we get to a point whereby it's safe enough for people who have been 100% regulated previously to move into a space which has more deregulation, more freedom to do things, more innovation and such. So I think it could be interesting. Every country will have its own measurements of how much to give and where that demarcation lies between these two spectrums.
Yeah, on the surface, the proposal has a bit tighter restrictions when you look at the safeguards, minimum $300 million market value for SPACs, and also the timeline for SPAC mergers to be completed within 3 years instead of the typical 2 years. So you do have a couple of safeguards in place to reduce those risks around this listing structure. And Sunny, just to look ahead to the second quarter, how are you guiding for asset allocation versus the first quarter? And where does Bitcoin fit in? Are you a believer in crypto right now?
Well, in terms of asset allocation, we're still maintaining our so-called short-term bullishness, especially for this year. I think you can't run away from the fact that the market is awash with liquidity. The fiscal stimulus that we've seen in 2020 is spilling over into 2021 because of the lag effect. We've got new stimulus packages coming out. We've got new lockdowns, which could then spark new further packages going ahead. So all in all, the environment does suggest to us that the markets could be just it's still a risk on market given the liquidity situation, given the stimulus packages and so on. On the other hand, we are, as you put it in terms of Bitcoin, we are trying to get some digital asset allocation for our clients through regulated products. So, and then, it's a volatile market, but we try and measure that volatility or control that volatility to something called positioning or sizing, making sure that the clients are not too overly exposed, but they should have an exposure because it is a growing asset class.
Okay, so actually quite a bit of potential for Bitcoin if you look at what you're looking at in the long term. So something to look at in the quarter ahead. Sunny Hamid, Director of Wealth Management for Financial Alliance. Sunny, thank you, and well, have a great long weekend in advance.
You too.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.